Adventures, Billy Tolly, and Aaron Goodman! So, feel free to fire off. We'll let these two get started right now. And guys, what do you have to say to your fans? Last big event, the Darkness event.
We love you all. All of you. Thanks for coming out, Tolly. This has been great. We all got to be a little happy family here for the last couple of years. Good times.
I'm going to cry right now.
All right, so if you have questions, get up, or this is going to be the shortest Q&A in the history of Darkness events.
That's all your questions. We're out of here.
Yes.
Hey, going back to what Chris was saying earlier today about paradigm and how you were brought up with different things influencing how you see things, when I hear like a spirit say, die, I'm just wondering, I'm trying to look at that as an open thing. Is that necessarily a bad thing? Are they, you know, like, obviously if I tell somebody here to die, it's a bad thing. That's how they would interpret it. But as a spirit, would it be a bad thing?
Well, it depends on what they're saying die for. It could be like, I died, or you just heard them say die, or I
don't. Well, might they be saying die so you can come hang out with me?
I know what you're saying. I mean, how many people have watched I've died and came back shows? You know what I'm talking about? I survived death and back.
Yeah.
I think I watched every episode, and every single one of those people go, it was great, I died, I had no pain, I was like ready to go, my family was there, but I came back. So maybe that makes sense.
Well, when people do die, there's no more pain, then they force back into their body, and then they're back to pain again.
So. I mean, there's a couple things I want to do first, but maybe I should just say thank you if that happens to me.
Thanks.
That's nice.
You're talking about 20 years from now, right?
Right, exactly.
I think it's perspective.
Or ask. Try to get EVP and find out why it said die. It might be something that like if you say a sentence, maybe you only hear one word of their sentence, so maybe they'll be like, you're not going to die, but all you hear is die.
There's like a long line of people ready to ask questions.
Are you guys...
Do we have time for this, Dave?
Since the start of the show, has your perspective on the paranormal changed from where you were to where you are now?
110%.
I'm starting to realize that religion might be just a military thing, like he was saying. Just kind of like, I don't know. I'm starting to believe all religion's right, all religion's wrong. And it's like what you believe inside. And from what I'm, babies and kids, now they're all supposed to go to heaven, but they're not. I mean, there's something going on. So I'm kind of not really digging all of it anymore. I firmly believe there's something to it.
Is heaven or hell real? Are we making it up?
If there's heaven, there's three people in it. Because if you cuss and kill, it's the same thing. Then then hell's probably booked out. So that's why we're all roaming around.
You have 5 questions. And you get 5 answers, and now you have 50 questions. That's what happens to us every time that we investigate. So,
this is a serious question. Have you guys ever gotten any spirit communication regarding whether the end of the world next month is actually true? And what are your feelings on that?
No, I don't think we have. But I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that because there's stories now of the Mayan calendars where they found more the date. Just something going to happen. I believe that the planets are all going to align. The scientists are talking about planets all aligning together. And when you take a bunch of magnets and you line them up, it's going to shift apart. And so I think something will happen off of that with the magnetic poles. Like right now, I think it's Mercury. It's close. It's causing like this month all the electronics and everything is all whacked because of the magnetic pole.
Mercury retrograde. I think it's like a long count on a calendar. Do you watch documentaries like I do? I watch them all. I will spend my time off and watch all of the documentaries. And from what I've learned through documentaries, it's the long counts. 5,000 years it takes to get to the cycle where all the planets line up, and then it's like the odometer flipping back to 0000001. So I think, this is my personal belief, that we have nothing to worry about, that it is it's a new era. We're starting, it's January 1st, but for 5,000 years. So that's my thought.
I was wondering, how did you guys get started in the ghost hunting business?
How did you get started?
All by accident. I've been a cameraman for 15 years. I knew Nick. I helped him out with swimming projects when he was in college. And then one day he came up to me and said, hey man, we're going to go hunt for ghosts. I'm like, huh? And then he's like, can you just be our cameraman? was like, yeah, I'll follow you around. So we went on that journey, and I was really just there to help them, you know, film them, and then all of a sudden I became part of it. And then once the ghost stuff happened, I quit. I was like, nah, I'm not into this, because I never thought about ghosts before that. And then next thing you know, a year goes by, film festivals, do a couple hunts with Dave from Darkness out there in Virginia City. I'm starting to dig it, things are following me, all this paranormal stuff. Next thing you know, we're out there pitching the show, and we get it, and I think, oh, this shouldn't be too hard, I've seen other shows. And then next thing you know, I have no idea what they're going to put me into, and so that's how it all happened.
And for me, I was just a regular guy. I never watched paranormal shows, never thought about ghosts, never went investigating, never had paranormal experiences as a child, except for night terrors, which now I'm starting to believe are some sort of paranormal experience that you have. It's a connection when you almost fall asleep. DJ in Las Vegas and everything for a while. My friend, who's also a DJ, goes, dude, these new paranormal shows, this is 2007. He's like, dude, there's a new documentary called Ghost Adventures. You gotta check this out. So we watched it. Halloween 2007. I'm sitting there on my couch going, man, that's fucked up. So I looked into it. I bought some equipment. I went ghost hunting on my own. I looked up, you know, Googled like everybody else, tried to find haunted locations, formed my own little group, tried to come up with my own conclusions because I'm very skeptical. Very. And I go, these guys that made this show, Ghost Adventures, the documentary, not the series, they live right here in Las Vegas where I live. Maybe I could contact them. The only person that had a MySpace page was Zach. So I messaged him, dude, I just watched your documentary. You live in my town. I'm a DJ. I don't know if you like house music, but I'm playing it after hours. He came in. He's like, awesome. Nice to meet you. We sat down after my set, we talked about the paranormal. He goes, how do you seriously feel about the paranormal? I go, well, you know, I'm intrigued, but I'm very skeptical. He's like, do you want to go to a really haunted place? I will send you to the Wash Up Club, where we filmed our documentary. I go, cool. That's how I met Tara. Where's Tara at? Tara. Tara was pissed. You're gonna pawn this guy that you don't even know up on me to come to the Wash Up Club to ruin my investigation? I had the most incredible paranormal experience of my life at the Wash Up Club that weekend with Tara and the other friends that I met that weekend. And that was enough for me to draw me in to go, there's more to this. So I was very interested into EVPs and all that. And
Zach, you just became our friend. And then 2 years later,
and then I came back,
need some help.
I came back and Zach goes, do you want to like review some evidence for us? Because this is really interesting that you're a DJ, but you have all this audio software that you know upside down for 10 years. Would you review some evidence for us? I said, sure. And that was what episode? The season one.
Yeah, season
one. You guys
went
to Sloss Furnace, and I reviewed some evidence. And I go, yeah, there's spirit voices there. What I thought was spirit voices, I know now that they are for sure, but it was incredible to me. So the journey continued, and then we all became friends.
Dude, I'll never forget, I went into this club, you were spinning, and you came up, and I've never seen the millimeter or anything like that. You're like, dude, I just got this gear, and like, check it out. You're like showing me all this stuff, and my hands are getting cold, I spin it, and it's hot, and I'm like looking at it, I'm like, all right, dude.
And then
I got the gear, I'm sitting here.
Exactly. My hands are getting cold while I'm working. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and then the millimeter's going crazy, and it was just like, I started watching. That's the first time I got to see the millimeter, and I was like, dude, this is kind of cool. And I was like, we gotta get this millimeter, dude. And then like,
so I was already on top of the gear.
It's already hot.
I'm like, my hands are 67 degrees and they should be 85.
Yeah.
That's just weird, man. It's July. Your hands should be like 90 degrees. And so that's how Aaron and I became friends. They came to the club where I was DJing and I was into the paranormal.
Wait, he was alone. He was like every 2 seconds.
And so we became good friends, and that's how I became on the Ghost Adventures crew, was just through my interest in the paranormal. And I'm new to it, but man, everything just came 100-fold all at once.
But that's how Ghost Adventures is. None of us really were planning on doing this. Like, it just happened. Nick and Zach had experience, and they went out, and it was kind of like we were chosen to do this.
And you were the camera guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to the gold field.
Yeah, I didn't go to gold field. At that time, now I went back, but at that time, I was like, I remember working on a gig. Like, hey, we're going back to Goldfield, we need you. I was like, no way, dude, I'm done. I'm like, forget that. And they went, and then a year later. Yeah.
But we learn something every single investigation about each other, about the field. And Dave, we need more questions because we're just
going to go.
So you guys travel to a ton of places. If you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you pick? And I'd like to hear both a haunted location and a non-haunted location.
I just want to go to the Egyptian tombs and hunt that.
That's my answer.
And and I want to go to Dracula's castle. I couldn't go last time, and it sucked. And so I just want to get there at one point in time and feel the vibe and hunt that place. But Egyptians, because I've had dreams as a kid, like Egyptian dreams are crazy. I feel like I was an Egyptian maybe in a past life. And like I feel like if I went there, I could push this certain rock and a door would open. Like, it's really weird. So I just had this huge fascination. I bought the book, Dummies of Egyptians. I had read it three times.
Egyptians for Dummies.
Yes, that's what it is. It is.
I wrote it.
I love that book.
Thanks, Ben.
That's the only book I ever read, too, I think. I hate it.
It's
I
the audio book.
My mind wanders to the ADD, and I'm like, oh, it's just like, okay, I'm done.
Same answer for me, definitely. Egyptian, pyramids, all of that. Indiana Jones. Throw me the whip, I throw you the idol. Throw me the whip. No. I want to do all that.
How much time or how many months does it take you guys to
Six
travel
minutes.
And to kill each season?
We've not had a break since the start. I think we've had 2 months off, and
it's been
about 4 years.
3 years, the last contract. It goes by contract, not by season, so it's like they go, you're going to do 40 episodes. You're going to do 26 episodes.
We do them every
week. We don't
week.
Know what season it is. It's just give us 26 episodes. So,
right. So then we'll go out and shoot it. Like we just shot the Voodoo one, and it goes into watching footage. Then, like probably 2 or 3 months, it gets into like Travel Channel. They start finalizing everything with it, and then it just either gets played sometimes, or they hold it off for a while. So that's who knows.
Does Travel Channel pick these locations for you?
No, Jeff Ballinger, Nick Groff, and Zach Baggins do. They're pretty much, we get them from you guys, from the world, from everywhere, people, you know, all kinds of stuff, but it really comes down to them.
Everyone harasses Jeff. People harass me and Aaron, too, on Twitter, Facebook. We go talk to Jeff. So Jeff gets all the mail. Jeff does all the research. We got to give credit to Jeff, seriously, because he handles all that. He does all that. This story, but he goes to Princeton's crew. Jeff sorts through all of that crap. Right?
And does the research to make sure that we have to make sure it's crazy enough for us to go into. Like, everyone's like, oh, go to this place or that place. It's like, well, why waste our time with that when we can go to something even crazier?
He filters through all the mail. And then he prints reports, right, Jeff? 7-page reports sometimes. He just told me this, by the way. I'm quoting Jeff. Hands it off to Zach and Nick, and they go, nah. Oh, that's cool.
Put that in the main file.
Right. So it's ultimately up to Nick and to Zach. But Jeff does all the hard work. So we appreciate that, Jeff.
Investigator, because there are a lot of different forms of the paranormal. I've met a lot of ghost hunters that don't believe in UFOs or Bigfoot and stuff like that. So I want to know what your guys' opinions are on those types of things, and if you've had any experiences with those things.
When I was a kid, saw Bigfoot. I was like, I lived in Sisters, Oregon. I went outside and hunt BB guns when I was 7, because we had nothing else to do. And I remember trying to go for deers, and I remember like seeing this thing walking across and disappear behind a tree and just vanish. And I went home, and I said, I saw a monkey, and then my mom was like, monkey? Like, and then I told her it walked, and then she showed me a picture of Bigfoot, and I was like, that's it. But I don't know, I think certain people can see Bigfoot. I believe it's real, and I got kicked in the face by a horse when I was a kid, so maybe my eye was looking a little different, but it's true. But I do believe in Bigfoot. And I also, when I was driving to California about, I think it was last year, there was this, I thought it was a police plane coming towards us, and it looked like Tron. I was like, oh, dude, this is cool. And it literally was coming with the traffic, and then all of a sudden, right over the truck in front of me, and was going this route, stopped and reversed, and was going, we were going 70 and it was going 60. And then we saw it right over us, all the cars swerved, and then it was like, you can't just go this fast and stop and go backwards. And let's just say I'm surprised it was a huge wreck. And I mean, what I saw was only lights on wings, and then I saw what it did, and it spooked me out. So, I mean, maybe it could be government or something, I don't know, but it's unexplainable. So it's kind of like, in a weird, it could, I don't know.
I've never seen Bigfoot. I don't disbelieve that there aren't big feet people out there somewhere. Because I think there's a lot, I mean, this is personally, this is my personal belief. I think that there could be a Bigfoot population that we don't know about. As far as aliens and stuff, I've had three experiences that I've never shared with anybody. That, just personally, that I've seen lights in the sky that I dismissed just out of my ego saying, it's just something, it's nothing to worry about. But red lights all in formation and just three separate times. I don't know what that means. So I'm not against the fact that there could be aliens or big feet.
I believe in aliens 100%.
I say it's not bullshit. That's my answer.
What was your favorite place to hunt and what was your scariest place to hunt?
All of them are my favorite because they all got different energies. Every hunt's different. Like when I just did voodoo the other night, like I now understand a little more voodoo. I understand witchcraft. I understand pagans. I understand all this stuff. So each one, even if they're not as scary, is still a special place. So it's kind of tough. And the scariest, I don't know if you've ever seen a show, but it's pretty much awful. They're all pretty scary. But I got to say, Hellfire's Dam was pretty scary because I thought I was going to die after that shadow. All my body felt like it was turning to stone. I thought I was having a heart attack, and I thought that's it. And then Mackie's used to be scary to me, but I'm understanding Mackie's happened for a reason for me, so that I would be where I am now. So in a weird way, I used to think it was terrible, but now I'm actually comforted with it. It's because without Mackie's happening in my life, I would not be where I am right now. I would still be in a different place. So in a weird way, I thank Mackie's, a messed up boy.
I'm with Aaron. I don't really have a favorite. I do have a scariest place. It's most recent, which is an episode you haven't seen yet. And that's only because it's the most profound paranormal experience I've ever had. It was at the Wyoming Penitentiary, which that's an episode that's coming up. I actually saw a full body apparition, which I haven't seen the cut, so I have no idea. I hope they don't edit it out. But you know, I'm not an investigator on the show, but I'm there. I do the monitors a lot of times and everything.
You started investigating.
But this new season, that's probably season 8, that's not airing. Like the last 4 or 5 episodes, Zach is like, dude, we need you to investigate too, because there's just so much area to cover, which I'm very grateful for. And I've had crazy experiences. And this episode that we filmed in Wyoming, Rawlins, Wyoming, in the middle of nowhere, which is a shit little town that no one cares about. There's a penitentiary. It's probably the most haunted place I've ever been to. And while I was there with our sound audio guy, I was, not to give anything away too much, it was just the two of us locked in this prison, and him and I were at base camp watching the monitors. We heard some noises, I went to check it out, and while I went to investigate, a man walked by with a flashlight and dark clothes. And I'm like, we are locked in a prison. There's no way it's a person. So,
dude, I saw it too. I was in this bathroom. I don't know if I'm gonna cut, but I remember calling Billy like, Billy, you gotta come in here and get me, man. Like my back was stuck against the wall. I was so scared. I saw what he saw, and I was just like, dude, you gotta come and walk me out. I can't go out alone. I felt like, and I was like, and at the end of it, I was like, no, don't come, Billy. I'll leave my own. But at the time, I was so scared, dude.
But I'm not in trouble with it because I actually saw, and it looked like a human being dressed in dark clothing, which was probably a guard at the prison with a flashlight doing rounds, which he was murdered in that exact spot.
Which I psychically connected with during the
But I didn't know that he was killed there, and I didn't know that three other people saw the exact same thing that I saw. So it was cool for me because I shared my experience, like, well, did you know that two other people saw that? Did you know that that's where he died? Did you know that he was a guard? I'm like, oh. Yeah, it was an aha moment for me and a paranormal, like, pinnacle moment for me, so.
Really, he did it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Dude, I'm just,
and all
get his clothes, dude, relax.
And this is important for me to tell you, especially the people that are brand new to this, that have never investigated, that are skeptical. Your brain will tell you, no, That's not what you saw. It was someone that broke in a prison. Someone broke in a prison dressed as a guard, and that's what you saw. That's what you saw, man. And then they were never recovered after we stopped the investigation. Everything's locked down with infrared beams that are governed by the government because it's a museum, and they were never found.
You can't break into prison.
So
thank you, Primo.
That put the fear in me.
I'll try my best on this one. In the episode of Dark Moon Manor, the place almost came off as bogus. Two-part question. Was the place hyped up more than what it really is? And how many places do you go to or do you check out that are just more hype than fact when it comes to what you investigate?
Well, I think some of them are like that, but you got to remember that when you bring us into that lockdown area, it's not just what ghosts are there, it's what's following us too. So like, I know of three energies that follow me usually at all times. And so let's say I go in there and now the ghost or the spirit in there is like scared, something's happy. Like, okay, you bring dogs together. They're gonna sniff each other and growl each other and then like, a little bit later they'll be friends. So it's like sometimes when we come to these places, we amp it up what's around us. And so, but that place was no joke. That place was scary. There were so many side stories to why that place was the way it was, but we only have an hour to show it. And I'll be honest, dude, I've never been so like, I might not make it out of this creepy old house, even though I know I could, but there's a well, and you bring water element, and you just, what happened in that place, and so, I don't know, I was awesome.
I have to set up the cameras before they get there, and it's dark, so I'm by myself. Everyone forgets that, Billy's in there by himself. Zach's like, here's what we need to do, we need you to go up to floor B7, 5, and 3, set up a camera there, there, and there. So it's pitch black, I have a flashlight in my mouth, and I'm
like, I love it, because this is all I used to go through, and now he does.
That looks good. Don't follow me. And then I go to the next floor and set up the next camera, and like, you know, that place was
intense, but you gotta remember, you only saw 20 minutes. I mean, we were in there forever, and there was only it like was hyped up, and it would just die down.
Yeah.
Be hyped up again later and die down. Like, we don't go in these places and just boom, it happens. Like, you see what happens after we've been in there for so long, or taunting, or doing something to antagonize it to get it going if it's bad.
How many people hunted last night? How many people noticed that the energy went like this, and went like this, and went like this, and went like this? Most of you? That's how investigating
is. Hunting.
That's ghost hunting. Sometimes you'll go and it's like this, it's just a flat line, and it's only 15 minutes that crazy shit happens.
Well, just like the lighthouse when you did the old lighthouse episode, yeah. Like, it was just quiet, and all of a sudden, boom, started getting some activity. And then it was just that little moment of boom, and then it got quiet again. And I think that was probably my, I would say, like, least favorite episode. Because it was in, like...
As a viewer, that was my least favorite episode. Execution.
But it's still cool. It was still fun. It was so cool to be there and exciting, but...
This young lady has a question.
My question is... And Diana Double Dog dared me to do this.
Thanks, Dee.
Blend it now.
What is your, both of your opinion, and I want to hear both of your opinion on the Ouija board.
You go first.
I don't know if I want to get into it, but I just feel like one of my past lives, I was part of the whole Ouija board thing, and I either like died from it, or I was part of something of making it. And then we actually, my very first time last night, or two nights ago, I don't do the Ouija board, but since I just went through this voodoo thing and I was all amped up and I was like, screw it, I sat in on a session with them and we got a lot of crazy answers that only I would know and they wouldn't know and what, it was weird.
I was raised you don't mess with Ouija boards.
I've never played it yet.
You don't go to a room, you don't go to a party where people are touching the Ouija board. And then I got educated about what Ouija board is, talking board. Is it ovulus? Is it the same as...
It's the same as everything.
Is it the same as any of the other devices that they're using? You're asking spirits to ask you, or give you answers to questions that you have. Why is the Ouija board indifferent? The answer is it's not. What is your intent? Is your intent for good or evil? Can the Ouija board be used for evil? Sure. Can it be good for getting enlightenment? Yes. So,
but you never know what you bring in with that Ouija board.
Right. So I know what I'm doing. I've never used the Ouija board until a week ago.
And all I hear is on the phone for hours. I swear, so, this doesn't make sense. It's like, so yeah, you're playing the Ouija board, dumbass. Don't do it.
I did the Ouija board with a few friends, and I was amazed at some of the answers I got. And Aaron said, hell no, I'll never do that with you.
But something
over Thursday, he goes, I'll sit in and like listen and see what happens. And it was very enlightening.
It was, I gotta say. I was pretty impressed.
But I'm not encouraging anybody to use a Ouija board. That's just, it's a personal choice. So thanks, Devil Dog there.
It looks a lot! That's loud.
This is for Billy. During your Inland Empire days. Yeah.
Whoa. Is this going to be about like high school and stuff?
Have you ever investigated or heard of the Key Mill Towers in Marietta?
No.
I'm just kind of curious because that's like the whole thing down there. Yeah, I can't find any information on it. So.
Yeah, because I didn't spend a lot. I didn't grow up in Temecula or in Marietta area. I grew up in, did I say Adelaide area? Sure. I grew up in Riverside, California, until I was 20. And then moved away, moved to Newport Beach and Utah and Las Vegas, and my family lives in Temecula.
Love you, Aaron.
Twitter, but I don't know.
And for both of you, if you could go back to one location you've already investigated, which one would you go to and why?
Washoe Club.
And why?
Because it's amazing. Because there's a lot of spirits there that I connect with personally. I don't know about everyone.
The one spot I want to go back to is Mackey's, but I want to do it all by myself, and I want to sit down there all night long. Because if it follows me around and hangs out in my house and I got proof of it, then well, I can go to his house and just have the same feelings as sitting down by myself. So that's what I want to do. If I go back to Mackey's, it will be all by myself. It'll be for 8 hours in the basement. Probably the snack lunch. Show. And just hang out and see what happens. Like, I don't have to ask questions. I can just sit there and relax, and it will all happen for you sometime.
Tough guy.
I go team up to say something.
So we've seen a lot of great things with Aaron's vlogs, all the behind the scenes. What would you say are the most funny, most embarrassing, or most memorable behind the scenes Gap family moments?
I still love when we were in London and we ordered room service. I gotta say, we gotta start. We have actually been putting together a ton of videos because when we do videos together, they're pretty funny sometimes. And so, we've been like thinking about putting all the, not they're not even vlogs, they're just videos that we tweet. And so we're thinking about putting together a little channel of like, called like the Aaron and Billy, because there's so
we're talking to the Country Channel Network.
But with everybody else. but with all the guys, what would be your favorite one? There's so many.
The pancakes one's pretty funny.
Several pancakes. I like the hats on. We got new hats.
I don't know what it is with the hats either. I've never bought a hat this in my life, but this is my London hat.
There you go.
I guess that's the answer.
What's your oddest investigation not unseen?
Zach's bathroom. But it will not be aired.
I'll say the oddest one was when we were in Carmel and Zach called us up because something serious was happening. And we hunted that house, and Zach knows what was there, saw what was there. I ended up seeing the shadows going down the hallway he saw. But the reason it makes it so funny is because I look over, and there's Billy, and he's just like, oh, no God! He starts smelling his smell salt to cleanse of himself. And he's just like, oh my God, dude! He was so freaked out.
When we were filming the Tour House and the Lighthouse episode, Tour House was last week, and the Lighthouse episode,
that was shot back to that. I played 6 months later, so, or whatever.
Most of you don't know, but I carry frankincense oil with me. And frankincense oil is 100% pure frankincense oil, and it's very spiritual to me. It's kind of like Dumbo's magic feather that makes him fly. And to me, this will protect me when evil comes around. All I have to do is take the lid off and smell it. That's what he's making fun of.
And he was in the corner just like, because I wasn't even paying attention. He already saw it. He's just like, oh!
And yes, you did just hear him liken himself to Dumbo the Flying
Dutchman.
A lot of stuff you guys catch that we don't, like my errands vlog at Brookdale Lodge. I'm like sitting there all by myself in the creek, and you pan up, and there's a headless man standing there.
That's true.
I just noticed that.
With his iPhone. Not even like...
Yeah,
with
my iPhone.
Aaron's walking through where the river is and stuff with his iPhone. You can't see... I watched the vlog. You can hardly see anything but you. And Aaron's like, yeah, we're here. It's creepy. There's a creek and you can barely see the water. You can barely see anything. And as Aaron pans around, behind him, there's a silhouette of all the lights and there's a man with no head.
Yeah, I didn't even know it. But then that's what it's about.
I was just wondering, out of all the places that you guys visit and... not on your show and maybe personally, if there's ever been a place where you maybe regret going because maybe something, you brought back something maybe that was a little too even much for you guys?
I never regret anything I bring back because I believe if it wants to come back with you, there's a reason for it. You're a learning process. I don't cleanse myself. I don't say stay here. I do it all and I let it all come back because I am my job and you got to be your job. And so I feel that if I cleanse this stuff and try to like, you know, get rid of it or like worry about it there, it's just gonna, if I get rid of that stuff, it's gonna affect the evidence. So I really do live ghost adventures. If it follows me home, fine. If I go into depression or something's wrong, I just ride it out. Like I just got the voodoo thing. I've been like there's been moments I just feel like I had to walk out of rooms because it just feels so like angry or something. It's really weird, but like that's what Zach says sometimes, it's a paranormal hangover. But it kind of is. You still are living it. It takes time for it to die down. And so it's like, but I learned something from that. I learned an energy. For some reason, I have this sense or smell now for voodoo. And I understand it because I just went through a ritual. So if something follows me home, so be it. Cool. I'll deal with it. If it doesn't, it doesn't. They're going to follow me home anyways. And when I tried to cleanse it, it got worse. So I decided, all right, there's something happening here.
We definitely came here from New Orleans with a paranormal hangover, both of us.
Yeah.
Aaron... he's the most on edge I've ever seen him.
And I'm not that way. You guys know that. He's like, hey guys!
But I'm on edge as well.
It's crazy.
I don't know. You're right. Different places have different energy, and there's definitely a paranormal hangover. I'm sorry, Dave. We brought that shit back with us from New Orleans, so.
It's not hanging on me. I'm up in frankincense.
If you guys would like some frankincense, Diana has some over here.
And honestly, guys, it works. I've seen him and other people use it, and it does work, man. Like I don't like the smell of it, maybe because I like the stuff around.
He's repelled by it.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like I can't stand the smell of it. It's weird.
That song again.
I was like, well, my eyeball, dude. Was that payback for the one time I hit him in the nose?
He hit me in the bridge of the nose right before a picture.
It's all bloody. You look cool, though.
I was wondering what the funniest thing you guys have ever caught on an EVP was.
I'd have to say it was from because I listen to all the EVPs and I laugh when I had to review it with Nick and Aaron or with Nick and Zach, the ball man one. Remember from the mining town?
Oh, ball head. Yeah. There was another one that was even hilarious recently and it, like I don't remember.
And some of them are like profane too, but that one was pretty funny though.
You ball head. There's the eye socket hole in there.
I knew you guys had gone to the Velisca house, and I don't doubt that it's haunted because myself, my aunt, and A cousin of mine spent the night there. But what made you guys decide to go there?
Well, we've heard about it from many people, and it's been one of those things, you know, it's got a great history. It's got an awesome history, and so we were trying, and we luckily finally got it. And so, I mean, there's a whole list of tons of places he has, and it's like, right timing to go there.
Jeff Belanger texting over here.
But it's like, you never know. Like, it's been all about timing, because we are shooting this week, but they're full of something else, and they can't. And so New Orleans, it got canceled, and then we went off, and then I was going to go to San Francisco, and then all of a sudden I was like, we got it. And then we got in right then, because someone decided, well, okay, or a permit went by, or something didn't happen. So sure. It's all random.
And by the way, that upstairs door opened for me and my aunt in broad daylight, and it did
place is no joke.
And it did it at night.
It's no joke. I was inside that attic myself.
I felt like
a knife going in my back. Awesome. It was really weird.
Veliska Axburger House, not only is it no joke inside, but out in the garage area, which is the porch, which is where I was. We were getting EVPs out there too, and I had a recorder. I started something that I did with one of my really high-end recorders. I wanted to record soundscapes of haunted places, which I've never released that or anything, but I have one-hour recordings of whatever the outside sounds of this particular location is.
Oh, he'll walk up and go, dude, check it out! This sounds great! I'm like, listen to crickets. He's like,
it's just crickets. It's the Veliska Axburger House property crickets, right? While they're investigating, I place a recorder and just hit record, let it run for an hour. I'm like, wow, the crickets, that sounds really cool, because we don't have these crickets in Las Vegas, so I'll try and take a nap to that. I had like the most horrible nightmares ever from listening to that recording just from crickets off the Veliska Axburger. I will never
send it.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
If you were to come in contact with anybody who's ever passed, who would you want to speak with? Or maybe you already have, and who was it?
There's a lot.
It's a long list.
But I would like to talk, it sounds so bad, but I'd like to have a conversation with the devil, because he's dead, he's a spirit in a weird way, but I can find out a lot of answers on why really what's going on. And I'd love to have a conversation with God. I'd love to have him in the same room. So, but seriously, like,
you're gonna raise taxes, really?
Like, I want to be trapped in a vampire or whatever, like all these things, but really it comes down to good and bad, the leaders. So why not talk to God? Why not talk to the devil, you know? Like, that's who will give you all the answers for everything you ever wanted to know.
He made my answer sound really dumb.
I'm going to say it anyway.
I want to talk to Kurt Cobain. I just want to ask. Come on, man. He's like a pioneer of like a great new genre. And really? Yeah, I want to talk to him.
So we have another question. Beatles or Rolling Stones?
Beatles. Woo! Yeah. So they're kind of like heavy metal, rockish, but the Beatles are just the cool thing that they're listening to. Still are.
This is the part where you check underneath all of your chairs, and one of you has something taped under this.
Gum. Someone has gum under their chair.
Dave, tell them what they've won.
You've won absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you all for your time. We're going to take a quick 2-second break. Or did you have one last question, ma'am? Too bad, I said we're out of time. Come on up. Ask one more question. Come on. All right, one quick one. Here we go.
I like the jog to the microphone.
I was wondering if anyone ever has been hurt on the set during the investigations, and if any of the negative energy has personally affected anybody?
Oh, yeah. Negative energy affects us.
Have you watched the show, ma'am?
I do! Oh, yeah. I mean, negative energy affects us all the time. Naked Zach, they try to, like, put it away and leave it there, and then you have some...
Can I let my wife answer this question? Has the negative energy, Diana, followed us home?
Yes.
Almost every time.
Yeah. And then, what was the other question? Sorry.
Have you ever been injured?
I remember at Preston Castle, the floors were bad. We don't see where we walk, and so I remember stepping over and going, whoa, and like catching my balance and looking down. I would have died. When we walked the hill in Bonnie Springs, I fell to cactus twice. I actually, this was the weirdest thing. I had my camera in my hand, and I started falling off the rock, and I literally switched it. And I cannot explain how I evened out, because I should have just gone, but it's almost like something guided me back. It was really weird. Nick fell down, busted up, and all this nasty 30-year-old sit in water.
I picked out all the cactus quills. It's part of my job. You guys don't know that. It's part of my job.
Billy! But no, so we think it's dangerous. We really are in the dark. But we really are in the dark, and there's very many times we do come close to actually death or really getting hurt bad. And but that's part of our job. That's how we do it. We're not in there with the lights on. We are really in the pitch black. So it's very dangerous because you don't know. Like, you stumble, and like, I'm the clumsiest guy in the world. I hit my head every 5 seconds or run into stuff, and that's when the light's on. So imagine with the light's off.
You should wear a helmet.
Yeah, right? That's what a skull is for.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Colley, here we go.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.